the disruption of technology, or I should say the disruption by technology of industries. I think it's good for our society. I think it's good for our economy. I think it's good for everyone. But along the way, there are always going to be victims. There will always going to be people who lose, people who win. And so, you know, that has happened a lot in entertainment. It's obviously happened in music. It's happening right now in video, and I think feature film, you know, we talk about that in the Producers Guild. It's hitting pretty hard in the film business. Other than huge, huge blockbusters, the smaller pictures are getting tougher and tougher and tougher to make and monetize. And I think it's clearly happening in books as well, with Borders going bankrupt, which affected us directly. Barnes & Noble struggling, you know, a lot of the local bookshops, are finding their own community, but there's only a few that can really be supported. And so things are changing rapidly. And I think the key point here is, what are the incentives of people to create content? And will that content be something that others enjoy? Is it just a hobby, or is there a way to monetize it and do that as a career? And I think as we move to digital, and there's a lot of piracy out there, a lot of people who have gotten involved with Scanlation, or and you know, I know tons of Scanlators admire the works, and so I don't blame Scanlators at all. This is not about blame, you know, this is about, is there a way for everyone to win at the end of the day, for the creator to also get those royalties, for maybe publishers don't have a role in the future. You know, I'm not going to claim, hey, publishers have to exist. You know, if every step of the chain are not contributing value along the way, then, you know, things should be efficient and they don't need to be there. But if somebody is taking a work of art that somebody else has made and they're enjoying it and being entertained by it, how does that person who make it, how does that person create a livelihood from that? Those are questions I think we do need to take seriously and figure out how to address.
I mean, do you think also it's just that – so you think it's more the model of the production rather than the production necessarily itself? Like, as in, maybe are we moving towards the old days of, you know, the artist having a patron, and that patron was how the artist made his money?
Well, it could be. I mean, that's certainly what Kickstarter and a lot of crowdfunding is, but – you know, there's a lot of, I've done crowdfunding in the past, and I know many friends have, and it's quite common in our industry, of course, but it's very hard. You know, you put in so many hours, and at the end of the day, you're kind of working for significantly below minimum wage. And so it flips onto the side of, well, you might as well just do it for passion at that point. And so I think the question is really, how do the people who benefit from the old model, how do those people let go and let a new model be created? Because the people who are doing the old model, if they don't adapt, then they end up losing their own livelihood, and that's what they're afraid of. So they're hanging on. They're like, no, I don't want to let go. And so you find a lot of walls being created that says you can't do this or you can't do that. And people are not open-minded to new business models. And then in the meantime, hey, I want to watch Game of Thrones and I don't have HBO for whatever reason and it's not here. And you know what? I'm just going to download it. Or I want to read, you know, my favorite manga and, you know, the latest issue is not out yet. And so I'm just going to go to the Scanlation site, you know, and that totally makes sense from a consumer point of view. You know, why not access the thing that you want? But if the publishers or the distributors are saying, no, you know, we're holding it back, then they're not helping either. So I think the whole industry has to go through this convoluted period of transition to come out with something that's more efficient and more aimed at the future. And in the meantime, there's going to be people who end up falling by the wayside.
And do you think on the consumer end that, you know, we need to take a – do you think that maybe also on the consumer end, do you think that there is like a thing of, you know, hey, support your local artists, support your anime, support your manga franchises that you like, you know, take a more active role in – promoting and preserving, you know, the things you like?
Well, it would certainly, I think, be nice to educate people about the challenges of being an artist. You know, it's easy to look at the very, very top successful artists who don't have a problem making money, you know, like whoever it is. I mean, whether it's on the manga side, like Takuchi Naoko from Sailor Moon, that woman has made an incredible amount of money in her life. There's no question about it. And it's the same in music. The top people make tons of money. But the problem is, you know, you can't really make a working wage anymore, a living wage, as they say, if you're not a top person. And so what about someone who's made a new manga and, you know, it's coming out and it's on Manga Fox or it's on, you know, which pick your poison in terms of Scanlation site. And, you know, Japan is still strong enough and there, it really is not piracy in Japan, which is very helpful. There is a different form of copyright challenge, which is really doujinshi. And those are more tribute mangas and also a lot of erotic mangas based on big names, but you don't have the online piracy that you have here. You know, like I have on my phone an app, Manga Rock, and I can access Manga Fox. I can access every single pirate site possible, and I show it to the Japanese, and they've never seen it. They didn't even know it exists. They're like, oh my God. And I looked, there's 15,000 titles right here. And so they're not educated to that. That's going a bit too far. You know, that's really someone. And I don't think it's the scanlators. I really don't think it's the people who are translating and the people who are doing the layout. Those people are passionate about what they do. It's the people who run these sites who are getting the ads from Google, who are getting that cut, and they're clearly not paying a single dime in royalties, and they're just sitting in the middle taking money away from the creator. That, no matter how you look at it, is wrong, and those guys are they're not contributing something positive to society. They need to be cut out of the picture.
Hmm. And I would say, so I mean, it's a very complicated thing. It's like try to get, as you said, the scanlators, you know, it's like we got to find a way to bridge between the world of the scanlators and the publishers to
yes.
bring them into a mutual harmony that is beneficial to the consumer, the producer, and to all parties involved.
Yeah, I think that the passion of the scanlators is something that's very positive, and I think that that's turned into a negative thing by the people who run sites like Manga Fox, who frankly won't even say who they are. You know, they hide behind this veil of secrecy because they know they're going to be shut down in a minute by the Japanese. And so, you know, that's a pirate. You know, no matter how you look at it, that's a pirate. And so is that a good thing? In a way, I guess it's cool that we can all read manga, you know, in English. I mean, that's no question about that from a fan point of view. I mean, I love going on that site and then reading a manga that I don't have access to. But at the same time, we all know, everybody knows, you guys know, you know, when we're doing that, we're also feeling a little guilty at the same time. And so it's this weird sort of a thing. It's sort of like sneaking into somebody's wedding and like kind of eating from their buffet, you know? You kind of feel happy that you're getting free lobster, but then you're also feeling a little bit bad that you have no idea who these people are. And so, you know, if there's a way to, like you said, take the positive passion of the scanlators and then connect that somehow directly with either the artist or if there is a publisher that's doing their job, the publishers have to be open-minded too. You know, I'm not saying all publishers are great and we should always support publishers. Publisher may not have a role. Maybe it is the scanlators and the artists work together if there's a facilitation method. But the websites that the Manga Fox type websites, honestly, I've talked to some of the big Japanese publishers. It's just a question of time before these guys are shut down. They're gearing up all their stuff to get these guys down. Cause, you know, back in the day where you could go onto YouTube and you could type in, you know, you could easily find a Hollywood movie. You can't find a Hollywood movie on YouTube now. You can find Korean movies. You can find things like that, but you can't find a Hollywood movie. And that's because Hollywood said, hey, we're not going to let you guys look at it on YouTube. You know, it's just not the right thing to do. And so it's a balance and it's a tough one. But I think that it's not the scanlators that are causing the problem. I think it's the guys who run these sites and make money, and they make money without even paying a dime in royalties.
Certainly so. Well, Stu, do you have anything else? That's pretty much all I've got. Would you, there anything else you'd like to tell my audience?
I'd love to say, hey, you know, if any of you guys are going to be at Anime Expo in the beginning of July or at San Diego Comic-Con, 3 days after Anime Expo, this year it's early, Tokyo Pop will be at both, and we're going to be making a couple announcements, which hopefully will be pretty cool. And, you know, we'd love to have you come by to our panel, and come visit us and say hi. We won't have a booth at Anime Expo, but we'll be wandering around. And so the panel's the best place. At Comic-Con, we may be in another company's booth. We can't quite say which company yet, but that will be something we announce probably next month. So love to see you guys.
Awesome. Well, Stu, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me this evening.
Special K, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing all you do to support the culture. I mean, and everybody out there, it's you know, hopefully I still have something to contribute, but whether I do or I don't, the fact that you guys are running with it and carrying the torch is awesome.
Well, it's a great honor to hear that from you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. You take care, sir. This is Special K of the Black Flag Cast.